was going to do Wednesday night that I didn't even get to. How the Holy Spirit went Wednesday night. Y'all know he just turned loose. We had a really good service. It's untold the anointing that was under. You know, it had to be in it, praise God. But the Lord began to speak to me this morning, dropped some things in my heart. And he said, the world is trying, and this is nothing new. He said, but the world is trying to conform my body to their image. Amen. And so I'm sitting there, you know, and I just start pondering on what the Lord said, waiting on some scriptures, you know. Because when the Lord speaks to me, I always say I need scripture. He knows, I think. You know, I'll be like, I need this lined up with scriptures, Lord. Right. You know, and he always does, always has, as long as I've been ministering. If he ever speaks something to me, he gives me scripture to back it up. I mean, those, that's how you can somewhat gauge whether you're hearing from the Lord or not.
Right.
He will back it up, not just by one scripture, but right. by two or three.
Amen.
You know, he'll confirm it. He'll confirm it in the way you know that it's him. You know, and so we want to hear the Lord, and we want to follow the Lord in this hour that we're in. We're in the best time the church has ever been in. Jesus is coming soon, but we're in a time where the warriors are. I can see it in y'all men.
Amen.
I can see it. I can see it. I can see it in happening out yonder with men of God and different things that I run across. You know, the ones that sees. Kind of reminds me of Gideon. When Gideon, you know, he went down and I mean, you know, God told him, go down, and told him, he instructed him, because there was a lot of people. Gideon needed, he's fixing how to fight a battle. And he needed what he thought would be a big army, you know, because of the things that he was facing. The time that we live in now, this world's in trouble. I mean, again, washing powder advertisement in two guys holding hands, advertising game.
It's ridiculous.
They're a couple. This stuff is happening on a major level in media, in all kinds of media. That women's good and all kinds of stuff taking place. You know, the media, radio, TV, and all that. And it's trying to conform us to the image of the world,
okay.
The way the world thinks. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. The Bible is outdated. I'm telling you, I've heard it.
Yeah.
You know, we need a modern Bible, because God loves everybody. And God does love everybody. You know, and we're supposed to not go by the Bible anymore, whether it's in the financial realm or in the marital realm or in the kids' realm. You know, we're all of that. I mean, even society, all the way up to the government right now, is trying to make us let our kids determine whether they want to be a boy or a girl at 5 years old. Are you serious? Well, now I'm not getting on all of that, but I'm just saying that we're created in the image and likeness of God.
Right. Amen.
If my grandson did hear it and he wanted to be a girl, I would set him down until I drove that lying demon spirit slough away from him.
Amen.
You're created in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
You are who God made you, male or female. It's not you feel feminine. I'm just saying now, see, we can't be conformed. I'm not going to change my thinking. I don't care if every man on the planet marries a man.
Right.
Right.
I don't care if every woman on the planet marries another woman. I'm not going to ever agree with it or say that it's okay.
That's right.
With God. That God is okay with that. But you know, you've got popular ministries and all of that today, and I'm not down in ministries at all. You know better than that, praise God. But if you're preaching contrary to this word, you are preaching false doctrine.
Amen.
You are going along with the culture. You're going along so that you don't offend people. We don't want to offend nobody. It's not about offending. Jesus said, don't be offended at his word. Don't stumble at his word.
Right.
And so God began to speak to me this morning. He began to say, he said, and I mean, I'm in the bathroom. Okay, I spend a little time in the bathroom. And so I'll scroll through Marketplace. Like a newspaper or whatever. I'm in the bathroom. And every time I scroll through Marketplace, there is a woman on there in a bikini.
Right.
Every time. And every time, I have never locked my eyes on that woman. Never. Or different women.
Right.
Provocative, naked, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
I'll scroll and I'll say, nope, not today, get hooking me up. Scroll by. And I'm tempted to scroll back and just, ooh, look.
Right.
But I'm not going to be conformed to this world.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling off on myself. If it happens to me, I know it happened to y'all.
Amen.
And if you ain't under some anointing, you're going to, if you're more carnal than you are spiritual, you've been yielding to carnality, you're going to give in. And y'all women that just lust after men, lust, you don't think women do it?
Right.
See, this stuff is not normal for the kingdom. It is for the world.
Right.
But I control myself. I'm just making one little example there of, you know, how, I mean, this morning God's speaking to me, and then I just scroll through the Marketplace. I'm not really looking for nothing or nothing like that. And there's that same naked woman. Then there's another one. There's two or three naked women in there. I'm looking for whatever I'm looking for. But see, media is doing that to you.
Right.
They do it on purpose.
Right.
Satan knows exactly how to mold me and draw me in. He thinks he does. But the Bible says I have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and I know all things. Now, I can sit down and not pay attention to the Holy Spirit and not pay attention to the Word and get weaker and weaker and all of that spiritually, and I will get weaker and weaker physically. You will. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says the strong spirit of a man, somebody that will not drain, that would drain my faith in just a second or two. I'm married. And even if I'm not married, the Bible says for me not to look upon a woman and lust after her beauty. Right?
Yeah.
So that means that I'm not going to conform to the way, I mean, you used to get around. I don't hang around men that say, ooh, look at her. Ooh. You're married.
Yeah.
If I do, I'll say, you're married, ain't you? Especially as Christians, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just making that just a little example of me, you know. I mean, I'm tempted to get angry. I'm tempted to be discouraged about church. We ought to be full today.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I fast and I pray for the ministry God's put me, but I'm not going to be conformed to the way I feel based on what I see. Because then I'd be given in to the enemy. Hallelujah. How many knows that? Well, give me that Romans 12, Ben. Be not conformed. The word conformed, I went and got the Strong's Concordance this morning. I didn't even want to go get it. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. If God tells you to go pray and you don't, you're conforming. You're conforming to the what you want or what I want. Or if God's told me to go into all the world, preach the gospel. I'm telling you, I can get away from God and I can sit in a bar and I'll stand before the Lord and He'll show me all the good things that He had for me. And He'll say, because you didn't want to put yourself out, because you conformed, you just conformed to the way you feel, the way the world does. You conformed. I mean, men commit adultery all the time outside the church, you know. And I mean, you know, they get tired at home. They get bored at home. Their wife ain't what it used to be. Their husband ain't what it used to be. And old Dan over there, he looks a little, but he's smiling all the time. And, right?
Right.
That's what that means, to go and just do what they do. Just flow with what they, to pattern after. That word conform means to pattern oneself after the world, the culture, the way the world does, the way the world thinks, that's why I don't listen to the news. They lie.
Man.
They lie. Talked to a guy just the other day. He didn't even know I was a Christian or nothing, and he couldn't help it. I'm there. I was there at a specific time. Should have been there 2 or 3 days before that, you know. And this whole day ended up, and God was just using me everywhere I went. I was getting to testify and give a testimony, and different things been happening, you know. What if you ain't got one? You ain't got no anointing. Man, I love Jesus. We all love Jesus. But we got to have demonstrations of what God is continually doing in our life, us working with Him, for Him to empower, take us forward. And the only way to do that is resistance to the world and the fear and doubt and unbelief. The Lord told me one time, He said, I can't do nothing in your life because you are full of unbelief. Me. And I thought, God, I'm going to the jails. I go to church. He said, that ain't got nothing to do with you being full of unbelief. He said, the devil goes to the jails. He's got them full. He said, the devil goes to church. He said, that's why men run off with the keyboard player.
Right.
He said, none of that has nothing to do with where you go and how I'm able to operate in your life. He said, I cannot operate in your life full of unbelief. He said, the only reason you're full of unbelief is because you're choosing not to believe the truth. But conform means to pattern oneself after. Well, I mean, my son works with me and people drive with me and all of that stuff. And if I have, I don't know it. I've never made a bad example of myself as a Christian and a father to Travis that I didn't tell him I was sorry and tell God I was sorry. It ain't got nothing to do with, Scotty thinks it. No, it's because I want the anointing as a father. I want the anointing as a grandfather. I want the anointing as a husband. I want the anointing as a Christian. I want the anointing as a leader. And if I conform to the media, just like Monty said, the best thing for me, and I'm not saying any of them, it's a sin. I mean, did you get off the news happier than when you got on it? Whew, glad I heard that. Whew, yeah. I found out now that, if praise God, you know, you can get COVID even if you're fully vaccinated. Did that make you happy? That I found out in that Bible, bless God, by Jesus Christ I'm healed, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. I found out every tongue that rises against me, I'll condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of Him. My right standing is of Him, and I'm not going to conform to anything less.
Hallelujah.
And I'm trying to grow in that. Best thing is turn off that news, turn off the media, turn off Facebook, turn it off. Limit yourself. Don't conform to it. Hallelujah. If you're drawn to Facebook, if by the time you get out of church, you got to check it out, maybe you might have a little problem. I might have a little problem. See, we got to work on keeping ourselves in check. Hallelujah. Because the world is trying to draw and to conform us. And thank God for that. Thank God for that teaching you're doing. Thank God for the men's meetings. We're going to learn how to be men. We're going to learn how to do it after we learn it. We're going to learn how to man up. I call it put on our big boy panties. Told Aiden yesterday down there in the garden, said something, you know, he said, Papa, I don't want to work. I said, well, you ain't going to get paid. I told my 2 grandkids, I said, y'all want to go? Papa's going to trim all of these trees off, and I will pay y'all. You know, I'll pay you. Now, I don't do that everything. I mean, they should help Papa and blah, blah, blah. But we're going out there, and I would pay somebody to come pick them limbs up. Man, I got a bunch of trees. I've planted them over 12 years. That pruning ain't funny. Yeah. I told him, I said, Papa's going to pay you now. If you come out here, Layton, he picked up a few sticks, you know, and he's only 4. That's, I mean, it's reasonable. Papa, I don't want to I don't want to pick up sticks. I just want to drive the tractor. I said, well, you ain't going to get paid. He loves that drive the tractor. Nothing wrong with that. He's Ford. I don't care if you are Ford. He going to know you ain't going to get rewarded if you don't work.
Right.
At Ford. He needs to know at Ford. That is something godly in me. God put in me.
Right.
He's got to know, work with your own hands that you will have to give to them that need. And if I don't teach my grandson and granddaughter that, I am not a good grandfather. I'm teaching them my mo. Well, you know, he's only four. Pay him anyhow. Almost give him a dollar, and I thought, I'm not giving him nothing. He got to drive that tractor, but God, and I told him what I said and what I meant, and I ain't going to change my words, regardless of how I feel. Well, Aubrey's out there, and I said, okay, that's fine. I said, you probably ain't even going to go drive the tractor since you don't want to work. Go, you can go off of their plate. But every time the tractor cranks up, here he comes. And I let him drive it, you know what I mean? We all get on there, and he's driving, and Aubrey's doing the gas and all that. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be mean to him, you know. I mean, he's four.
Right.
Well, you know, Aubrey, she's down there, and she's like, Aiden, come over here and help me, Aiden. I'm having to do all this by myself, and this is going to take for us. She's dropping. She's just dropping because now she ain't got no help. So I told her, I said, well, look, I said, it's okay. I'm thinking to myself, I got to teach her now at 7. You're getting paid. It don't matter if you got nobody to help you or not.
Right.
You are getting paid.
Right.
And she don't understand that yet. But now, if I am a godly man, a Christian, then I should have that in me enough till I can at least teach a 7-year-old. Because now I'm going to send her out into the workforce later on. And she's got to be able to go out there in that field or wherever and work and get paid and mind her own business. God will anoint that. See, what I'm saying, I'm not just telling you my story about my grandbaby. This world gives them everything and rewards them for everything that is not good and not right. They reward them, and then we wonder why we have a culture when me and you in business can't get nobody to come to work. Because they're given everything. They're not trained and not have the God mentality of working with your own hands.
Right.
If you're a good wife, you ought to meditate on Proverbs 31, but you are Proverbs 31.
Right.
Men, we ought to be in there. I'm telling you right now. I mean, some people think that, they think that I'm a little overboard. That's fine. I've got a good marriage. But I will not put hardship on my wife, period, that I can take off of her. I don't care what it is. I believe that is godly. I believe I will go through pain and everything, even that I don't want to go through, and be anointed by the Lord and be able to do it and come out victorious in whatever. Taking pressure off of my wife.
Yeah.
I just won't do it. Yeah. See, most men that do it, they're living in the moment. What about me? What do I want? What about me? What do I want? What about me? You married and you said you would take care of her, their life.
Amen.
Right.
Be a man of your word. Be a man. And I'm going to teach my grandson. And I set Travis down. Wasn't about being ugly. Wasn't about being mean. It was about I'm going to have to lay it out to him God's way so that he raises his wife and leads his wife God's way.
Right.
I even told him one time, Bad needed a car. And he wants to go buy him a truck. He's all about Travis. He loves Beth, but not enough to buy a truck, a car. He's wanting a truck. He's wanting something for himself. And so I just went to, I told him, I said, son, you know, buy her something nice. All I was doing, I wasn't getting on to Travis. I was trying to teach Travis how to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And gave himself for it. I was trying to teach him that you married her. She could have went with anybody on this planet, but she chose to give her life up for you, son. She chose to throw down her life for you.
Right.
And I wasn't saying it quite. I'm under the anointing. And you know what he does now? He thinks about her. He just bought her a nice one. Really nice. 2015. It's going to cost him a little, but you know what? He signed up for it.
Right.
She ought to drive better than him.
Right.
That's my opinion. I didn't say the Bible says that.
Right.
I want my wife driving. Well, when I do that, I mean, I don't like him what I want.
Yeah.
See, the world, the men, I mean, they used to say, my old lady's at home, my old lady. God convicted me one time. When I said that in my mouth, yeah, my old lady, she's a little rough around the edges. And the Lord got on to me. He said, what's the Bible say she is to you? I tried to find a lady in the Bible. I could not find that worldly saying in the Bible.
Listen.
You know? And so I stopped that. And every time I would get around somebody, I'd say, they would say, yeah, my old lady, especially if it was Christians, I'd say, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says she's our helpmate. The Bible says she's one that walks with us and works with us and saves with us and helps us and takes care of things at home while we're working. She is our helpmate. She's not an old lady. She's not a side piece.
Man.
Well, that's the way the world. Right. Yeah, my old lady just sits home and sucks Stevie up while I go work 50 hours a week. Poor thing. You marry her. What'd you do? Marry her for sex?
Right.
Man.
I wonder if we lost a bunch of them on Facebook. Don't matter to me. Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. If we want freedom, if we want power, if we want the anointing, if we want our lives healed and blessed and all of that, we got to love truth. We got to want what the Bible says, and we got to want to do what the Bible says. I'm not perfect. I'm like Monty. I'm far from it. I mean, you know, but I mean, I'm working on being. I'm working on going on in with the Lord, growing on up in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm in a place with grandkids I've never been. I've never had grandkids. But you know, I mean, Travis, he was my kid. That's a little different than grandkids. Well, just like, you know, Aubrey has this thinking. Travis starts down there yesterday and to the garden. And she looks up and she says, oh no, there comes Dad. He always messes everything up. And I'm up there and I'm praying, man. And I'm thinking, what? And Teresa, she says, what? Here comes Dad. He always ruins everything. Well, me and Teresa was talking about that this morning. That's funny being a little kid, you know. And me and Teresa was talking about that. They said, we got to do something about that.
That's right.
Without her knowing it.
Yeah.
What we're doing. We can't have her thinking that. Now, probably why she thinks that, they real devil, and he's always telling her what you're going to do, and you ain't. You know how rebellious kids get. And you got a devil, but nevertheless, me and Teresa's not going to allow that kind of thinking in that baby. We are going to get that out, that Dad is the best thing, and Mom is the best thing she could ever have. We're going to train her in her thinking, no, Dad loves you. No, Mom loves you. No, you got rules, but you're going to have them. You're going to have them. We got to help them to progress in righteousness.
Amen.
I don't have to have a scripture.
Right.
To honor their, see, Satan wants her dishonoring her father.
Right.
Dishonoring her mother.
Right.
You know, she don't know that. She don't know what I know. She don't know how dangerous ground that is.
Yeah.
Dangerous thinking that is. 15, 16, still thinking like that, she'll be off of yonder sex outside of marriage, you know, looking for that dad, looking for that, you know. I mean, messed up, could have 15 kids. I mean, I know I'm talking, this is the way the world is.
Right.
They think that kind of stuff is funny. And it is when you're right there in the moment, but when you get grasp the depth of that, That grandbaby's not going to think like that.
Right.
She ain't going to know nothing about it. We're going to drill it in her head, but God, that they are good, and they are. She ain't going to know nothing about it. God commands me to provoke her to love.
Right.
Y'all are quiet. Y'all helping me.
Come on.
Conform means to pattern like the world. I don't even pattern after other Christians.
Right.
I try to pattern my life after that Bible.
Right.
And if they are in there, we just join hands and walk, or join arms and walk together.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, I got to be in agreement with the Lord, and I don't pattern myself after any other pastor. I don't try to figure out how successful they are and how they get there. Blah blah blah. What I'm doing wrong? What I ain't doing wrong? I mind my own business and I walk with the Lord, and I say, God, I thank you, Lord. If I'm not what you want me to be, God, I'm gonna believe you to bring me into that place, God, that I will be what you want me to be as a spiritual leader.
Amen.
Because I can mess your life up. You understand?
Right.
Now, you can't mess my life up. Yeah. I tell you, shut that CNN, CNBC, Fox, and all them liars off, and you don't do it, you keep feeding on it. You don't believe me. Anyway. Didn't Jesus tell me that? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
All right.
He said, if you really love me, listen to my word. Listen to what I tell you. I didn't want to love my enemies. I don't have none now. I don't believe I would have a lot of problem with it now. I mean, because I can forgive quick. I forgive people before they ever do anything to me. I learned to do that by the Lord.
Amen.
So if they steal something, they didn't steal. I forgave them before they stole it and give it to them. Then I go clean as a whistle on the inside.
Hallelujah.
You know what's happened? I've been transformed. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've got people that think I'm too serious, that I'm not joking around and kidding enough, and I'm too tired and I'm tense and all of that stuff. And Teresa told me one time, she said, you're not funny like you used to be. I said, yeah, I read the scripture in there in the Bible where it says when I was a child, I acted like one. But Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish stuff.
Right.
I said, you know, it's good to be funny and kid and all that. I'm telling Teresa, you know. Because now I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm going to get her somebody that's a little more funny and charismatic. Well, go on.
Right.
I know what the Bible told me to be.
Right.
I know what the Bible told me to do. The Bible tells me, and I told her, I was just telling her this the other day. I said, well, I had a big limb I was cutting yesterday. And I left there and told Teresa, she said, we bought some new cutters. I said, well, how about go get them for me? I said, that'd be good. I didn't cut all these with Doyle. Doyle ain't stopping me. I just keep, they're coming down. So she goes out there and gets that, and I'm up there, and she gives me them dunes, and it was a big limb. I mean, it was a big one. She said, I don't much think you're going to be able to cut that with that. And I said, oh, really? I went, what? I went, and it went, psst. I stopped, and I said, you married a man. I did. You asked me. I said, you married a man.
She said, I did,
didn't I? I said, yes, you did. I felt good, Johnny.
Praise
God. I told her, you married a man. That limb coming down. I thought about getting changed on. I said, no, I'm going to prove it. She married a man. Well, you know, the Bible says, you know, I mean, these things, see, you got to think of yourself as a good person in the Lord. Strong.
Man.
Do I feel weak sometimes? Yes. Do I feel defeated sometimes? Absolutely. Do I feel like quitting? Yes, I do. I feel like quitting about every day. Feelings and emotions. They're like a roller coaster. See, but I've been transformed in my being by the word of God. That no weapon formed against me will prosper. God spoke to me this morning. He said, remember, son, when it became revelation to you that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And I mean, it hit me and I said, yes, sir, I remember, Lord. I said, I remember thinking to myself, because that became alive on the inside of me, that there was nothing on this planet that I couldn't do because of the anointing in my life from you. Yes, Lord, I remember. He said, I want you to tell my church this morning. He said they need to meditate on that, that they can do all things through me who strengthens them.
Hallelujah.
Don't go around saying, I can't. I just don't know how. I can't. I mean, my body told me I can't work no more. My body told me Tricia would have to get a job and I'll lay home. I couldn't see myself in a bib. You know, a bib with dough, rolling it out, checking, hey, honey, you're home? Yes, I've got the bacon, kid. I come in not too long after that, Andrew, I geared up on that garbage. My body ain't me. Your body is not you. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The Bible says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are new beings after we're born again, and our body used to dictate whether we partied, whether we, you know, committed adultery, whether we lied. We used to be under pressure of the world and pressures of, if we didn't do those things, what the consequences was. But now we are supposed to be controlled by the inward man. The inward renewing of the mind. Now, if I need scripture like you, if you would get in the scripture, you would know the scripture like me.
That's exactly right.
It ain't because I'm a preacher that I know scripture. It's because I'm in that Bible. I'm reading that Bible. I'm meditating on that Bible. I am talking that Bible when there ain't nobody around me. When the TV tells me after 50 I got shingles, I cut it off and say, liar.
Amen.
Went to the doctor the other day. Go in there to maybe come back to get a checkup on the blood or whatever. And she said, have you had your flu shot? I said, no, ma'am. Are you going to get it? I said, no, ma'am. She said, do you want COVID shot? I said, no, ma'am. She said, you're not ever going to get it. I said, no, ma'am. I'm not going to get it. I wanted to go on and tell her I got something greater in me than COVID. I'm going to keep that force, whether I did get the shot or I didn't, whether I moved on and got it or not. I will not bow to that and lower my faith where Jesus can do no mighty works because of unbelief. Talked to God just the other day, and I was going to tell you the story. And he couldn't help himself. He started telling me. I knew him by acquaintance around Blount County for years and years. You know, I knew him, but not knowing, like I know y'all guys, not really. And so he started telling me, he said, yeah, I got COVID back in October. And then I was in a hurry again, you know, and so I just stopped. I said, okay, Lord, I'm not in a hurry. I belong to you. Yeah, I got a lot to do, old Yonder. I got a lot, but I don't got a lot to do when it comes to this guy feels the need to start talking to me.
Yeah.
So I throwed everything down. And he goes, started telling me I got COVID back in October. He said, I was in the hospital 11 days. He said, I knew that I was going to die. He said, I could feel it. He said, I felt that I'm not going to make it out of this. He said, my oxygen level had dropped and he said, I wasn't getting no better. He said, but I laid there in the bed. He said, when you know you're going to die, he said, there ain't a whole lot means nothing to you.
Right.
Other than really the ones you love. You want, you know, if you really love somebody, you know, you'd like to have them took care of. He said, so I laid there in the bed. He said, and I thought to myself, you know, he said, I thought to myself, I've got to talk to God. That was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He said, I just started telling God, God, I know I hadn't served you. I know I hadn't, you know, and all that, you know. He said, but if there's any way that you could take care of my family when I leave, Lord, please do it. Please take care of my family, would you? Just please take care of my family. He said, and you know, he said, I said that. He said, when I said that, he said, I felt better. He said, all of a sudden I felt better.
Amen.
How many of the, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
No different than me saying, God, if you're really real, help me. Well, he come out. Two days later, doctor come in there and he said, I don't know what's happened. He said, but something's happened. He said, 2 days ago, buddy, he said, I told them he ain't coming out. He ain't going to make it. He said, I thought if you're a doctor, you're not going to make it. He said, but something's happening. Like, yeah, he said, and I pointed up.
Amen.
He said, I pointed up and I told him I talked to God.
Hallelujah.
I talked to the Lord. See, God couldn't do nothing. Couldn't do nothing for him like he wanted to. He could not move in and do what he wanted to do.
Amen.
And I told that guy, I said, you let the Lord in. I said, that's the way I do every day. I said, it's not that I got saved back down yonder. I said, I try to let the Lord in every day. I talk with the Lord every day. I repent when I know that I need to repent from the Lord. You know what I said? I said, so that I got this continual thing that brought you out. He said, you know what? He said, I realized that God answered me about my kid by saving me.
Amen.
He can help them better by me being here.
Right.
He can take care of them by me being here.
Amen.
And tears are in the dude's eyes, you know. And then I told him, I said, that's awesome, man. I said, that's awesome, man. I said, now you need to go to church.
Right.
And I started quoting scriptures to him. Need to find you a church. He said, are you a preacher? And I said, well, yeah. He said, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, I've been down in Bluntsville 21 years. Really? Where's your church? Because we're acquainted, you know. But I did not know that. Well, you know, you don't even see when good comes when you're caught up in the world. You don't know nothing good when it's happening to you.
Right.
You don't see all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden when the Lord opens up for you to get right with him, then you're in a whole new world.
Right.
I told that guy, I said, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me 8 years ago. I told him, I said, I know I would not be where I'm at today had I not followed the Lord all these years. I said, the Satan has tried to trap me and trick me over while I am serving the Lord. And if I had not had the wisdom of God, I would have fell for it and destroyed everything in my life. I said, so I am going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And y'all listening by way of internet, however you're listening, find you a good Bible-based church.
Amen.
Get plugged in. Take notes. Leave out of there and change. Change. Make a change in your life. Make a change. We're all having to do it. All of us Christians in this building right now, if we're not advancing and changing, then we're not walking with the Lord, because he leads us in paths of righteousness. But do we have the dark side? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may walk out. That word prove means to walk out. How manifest in your life that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want the will of God in my life.
Amen.
I want the will of God in this church. I want the will of God in your life. I want God's will in your life. We are going to have God's will in our life.
Amen.
That is a choice that we make towards God.
Amen.
You know, and I was thinking about, a guy told this preacher one time, they said it to me, that I major too much on faith. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to operate without it.
Right.
I mean, I can't comprehend that, honestly.
Right.
You know, when they say, well, Scotty, you're a little overboard on faith. I don't know how you can get too full of faith.
Right.
I mean, I've never seen them get over full of faith and God say, that's enough.
Amen.
Y'all so full now, you're looking like a blown up fish. But I have seen them in there, in Peter, Jesus praying that Peter's faith didn't fail.
That's right.
So Bobby, you know, he had faith, but Jesus demonstrated it can fail through the prayer. But see, the stronger we are towards our convictions from the Word of God, the less likely that our faith is going to fail us in the challenges that this world brings to us. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means to be changed. For me to change, I still need to change. I can quote you a lot of scripture. I don't even need them. I know what them says. I know what they are. I can quote without going to that Bible. They ain't got nothing to do with that. Satan quotes scriptures. Satan quotes them. He quotes them to me. He quoted them to Jesus. I didn't think he could, but I read them in there. I was reading there about Jesus up there and how he quoted Psalms. And he quoted Deuteronomy to Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus come back, slapped him right off with the word.
Amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone.
Right.
I can't live without fasting. People, I starved to death. I starved to death. You will not starve to death. It takes over 40 days.
Amen.
I mean, you would without water. Fasting is not doing without food. That's what you do because you're fasting. But fasting is your consecration to the Lord. Setting some time aside and not feeding the dictates of your flesh. Saying, God, I'm going to put this flesh under God. I'm going to humble myself and come before you, Lord, because I love you, Lord. And yes, a hot dog's calling my name, Jesus, but your name is greater than a hot dog. I mean, I've been started on a fast before and think, oh man, I'll do it later. But God, I want 3 eggs over medium, 2 biscuits and something. Boy, and I mean, I have absolutely on a fast drove into the parking lot of a restaurant fixing to get out and said, you are not going to whip me today. And crank my car and drive out of that parking lot. Keeping the commitment I made to fast before the Lord. But you know what? I'm telling you, over the course of my life serving Jesus, I know because I humbled myself and fasted, I saw miracles. I see them in my business today. I see them in. We're strong.
Amen.
We are strong.
Amen.
Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
I don't know what's wrong with everybody. They could have got weak.
But that don't mean everybody going to fall prey to it.
Amen.
The Bible says those that endure to the end, these will be saved.
Amen.
I thought about Wednesday night because it was challenging. You ever tried to get a sermon together and Lord ain't speaking no scriptures? How frustrating that can be. I mean, that can be really, 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 really frustrating because you've only got 2 more hours before you got to go do the thing. And then the next time you go, you're like, oh, God, it's going to happen again. It's gonna. If you ain't careful, you will pattern yourself to that, to what you experienced.
Right.
But if you'll get in faith, He'll show up.
Amen.
He'll show up, praise God. But you know what? I mean, I thought that I would run out of sermons after 6 months. I counted them in my notebook. After 6 months, that I would run out of sermons. And 21 years later, I still got them.
Yeah.
I can drive. He tells me sometimes to go find sermons that I preach, give me a title. I mean, he knows everyone in that footlocker.
Right.
He gave them to me.
Right.
And he has a real good memory.
Yeah.
Really good one.
Yeah.
He'll speak one that'll take me 30 minutes going through them books until I find that one, man. And then I mean, he'll say, if you'll notice my notebook notes, I take notes, I hardly ever use them. But it helps me. It helps me because when I used to go to school, they would make me write, I will not spit spitballs on Miss Thompson. And I would have to write it 43 times. 150 times. You know. I would have to write that, you will not spit spitballs through a straw on Miss Thompson anymore. That was my teacher. I didn't like her. And you know what? I could see that for days. Because I wrote it. And wrote it. And wrote it and spit the next day and had to write them again. Wrote it. And I'm telling you, I got a paddling when I didn't. And I mean, Coach McCann would light you up. Fire you. You would burn for 30 minutes. So I would write them. So when I got over in the kingdom, you know, I thought, I don't like to read, you know. And so I gotta do what works. And so I would make notes at church. And then I would write it down. When something meant something to me, I would write it down. Just write it. I thought, if it worked at school, make me remember, it'll work now. And so I would take those things and use them to my benefit in the kingdom. And you know what? The word transforms you. I do not think of it. I used to think lowly of myself. Praise the deserved. I used to think y'all deserved a better pastor. I know y'all don't.
Right.
That's exactly right. I'm anointed for this place. You're anointed. We're anointed together. Praise God. And ain't no better combination. None.
Right.
We're in the will of God. You're anointed. I'm anointed. And we got the weapons. We got the anointing. And any of y'all called to preach, you need to be signing up this year and saying, I'm getting ready. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm ready to step out. I'm tired of being disobedient to the Holy Spirit. If you're on the way of the internet, sitting at home, and you're a preacher, shame on you. Fast. See where God wants you hooked up, where you can supply what you need. It's not good that you just sit at home and call yourself an evangelist and don't go to the house of God to eat and get fed and get under the anointing, praise God, so God can open doors and use you. There's no lack of ministry.
Amen.
There's a lack of you going to a church and preaching when you want to.
Yeah.
And if it's out in the backwoods and you don't get well or all broke, you ain't going. That God ain't going to open to you no doors that's going to bless you.
Yeah.
The Bible said if you be faithful in the small, be faithful where you're at. My sister comes to me one time, she said, my daughter, she takes his kid. I said, oh, that's good. Sunday school kid. I said, that's good. She said, well, she's not faithful to church. I said, that's not good.
Right.
She said, but if you'd give her a position, it would help her to get faithful in church. I said, no, it won't.
No, it won't.
Right. I said, it won't.
But now, it will.
And so I'm thinking, good Lord, Almighty, don't have a tantrum with me here. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I know it won't. I said, I don't even need to ask you whether it will.
Right.
I said, I know it won't. Right. Position don't keep you.
Yep.
Heart does.
That's exactly right.
You know, and the Lord said, go ahead and do it. Show me. Because she didn't believe me.
Yeah.
She thought I'm just wanting to dictate and I don't care about her daughter and all that. So I went to her and I said, okay. I said, the Lord said, okay. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to keep her in church. I said, but that's okay. You think it will. I said, tell her, come on. She come on over here, picked up a room in there, give her a position. She lasted 2 weeks. Where's she at?
Well, I mean, she's just having issues.
That's the same issue she's always had. It's a heart problem. It's not a position problem. I can't have people here that can't show up because they're having issues.
Right. Right.
I have issues every Sunday morning.
Well, I got issues.
When I wake up, I got issues.
Yeah.
Before I went to bed, I had issues.
Right.
I don't listen to the phone on Saturday because I don't want issues for Sunday.
Right.
And some of them, it's been some of y'all. And it's been me with y'all, getting on your nerves, whatever the case. Oh, my God, he's going to preach the same way. One guy one time, I'm in the subway down there, dude, he asked me, he said, hey, y'all having Sunday night? He's been here before. Y'all having Sunday night, sir? And I said, no, we're not. We have Sunday morning service and Wednesday night. He said, well, I like Sunday night. I said, I figured you would. We don't have them.
Right.
I wonder why churches don't have. So I said, because people like you don't go to church. What's the use if you ain't going to church?
Right.
Oh, man. Don't get him in somewhere too bad. But he's one of them.
Yeah.
Everybody ought to cater to his need. You don't like getting up early. I looked at him and I said, set your clock like the rest of us does, homeboy. I mean, it ain't like we get up and tell God, God, change it till Saturday. I'll feel better on Saturday, God. God sets us in place, don't he?
He does.
Man, is this rough? Or this is good, though, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's good. We need it good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Teresa's one to tell me when I ain't okay. I told her one time, I said, why don't you work out your own salvation?
That's not what that Bible means, and you know it. You ain't right, and you know you ain't right.
I'm thinking, good Lord, your wife's supposed to be your shelter. But she is. Somebody that'll tell you the truth is your friend. Somebody that'll just let you go on and not warn you and tell you, they're not your friend. A true friend will tell me, Scotty, I think you're getting a little off. Scotty, I think you're, you know, I think that what Teresa even gets me on scripture. If I misquote scripture, she'll tell me 3 days later.
You misquoted that scripture.
I'm like, what? Did I say where it was at?
Yes, you did, and you misquoted that scripture.
You know what the Lord told me? I did it. I got two guys mixed up on the streets one time. I was preaching on the streets every Friday night. And I got two incidents mixed up, and I got two guys mixed up in my sermon. So I preached a sermon, and I got home, and Teresa, she told me, she said, you misquoted them guys. I said, I didn't mean to. She said, but it ain't right. She said, you're preaching to them people. It made me mad. I mean, really made me mad. I thought, well, you ain't the preacher. Mind your own business. I go off, you know, and I tell the Lord, well, Lord, you know, I wouldn't harm nobody down there. And I'm talking to the Lord now. I wouldn't harm nobody down there, Lord. You ought to be talking to the Lord about your kids, about what I'm saying. About your kids, how they see you act, how they feel about you, what's inside of your heart. Like Monty was talking about heart things. These things are heart things.
Right.
Well, I'm going down through the road, you know, and so I got it settled. I'm not saying nothing, man. That's ridiculous. So I get down to the streets down there, and I tell my brother, I said, you notice that I mixed them two up? Yeah, I noticed you got them mixed up, you know. He said, I wouldn't say nothing to the people. He said, they'll lose confidence in you. And when he said that, and I started walking off, the Lord said, if you don't tell them you're sorry,
right.
If you don't make it right, he said, then you will lose confidence, period.
Right.
And I told him, I turned around and I said, I got to make it right, man. I got to make it right. He said, you're going to lose people coming to the street. And that's a lot of people coming to that street, man, pulling up in their cars listening to the preaching. But it was between me and the Lord.
Right.
What to do with that pressure of that and blah, blah, blah. And so I got up there, praise God, and I told him.
Amen.
I said, last Friday night, I said, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, you know, and I could see that preacher, he's drawing up. He's waiting on cars to crank up and leave. One car crank up and left that service. It did happen. But I never had that less amount of people the rest of the whole 2.5 years I went on that street. I saw thunderstorms, didn't stop them, rain didn't stop them. They coming out with blankets. You know, sleeting, trying to get you to keep going. I had more people because of what I've done made that thing right. See, I'm not going to be conformed to the world.
Right.
Fear of losing and all that stuff. So I want to encourage you, you know, I mean, and God's not speaking these things for us to feel condemned and guilty and, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, he don't do that. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. He don't speak to us and us feel like a dog and unworthy and all of that. Now, when he does speak to me, it does put pressure on my flesh.
Right.
You know, I don't feel good, but I don't feel like a worm and a dog. You know, I'm like, man, I got to change that, man.
Right.
I got to change that.
Right.
And, man, I mean, you know, we just don't like change too much. You know, but once we get used to changing towards the Lord and being conformed towards the Lord, we want it. I want it.
Right.
I mean, I really do.
Right.
The judge convicted me. He don't even know it. Talking about, yeah, he's a blessing. Talking about, he obeyed the law of land here a while back. Out there talking, you know, well, somebody said, well, I run 5 over the speed limit. And Johnny said, well, we're supposed to obey the laws. What'd be wrong with 5 miles? It would be wrong to Johnny. If you know, because Johnny felt like I gotta obey the law.
Right.
You know. Now that's your conviction.
Right.
Now I can blow the doors off the cops, man, and it don't bother me.
Yeah.
I'll get a ticket. But if the Lord knows I'm going to get a ticket and he deals with me, I'll come down like Johnny and just drive like a pawpaw. You think you're pawpaw at 55 now.
Right.
Everybody's like, honk, honk, honk. Like, man, what's wrong with y'all back here? We're running 55.
Mm-hmm.
You got a line back there. You know. One day I said, Lord, let that state trooper be sitting down there and bless God in Jesus' name. He didn't answer me. They blowed right on through Blountsville. Praise God. I'm Travis goes through there 3 or 4 miles an hour over, they give him a ticket. Everybody else then just blows through. But you know what? That is a challenge to me to stay in a right spirit, to do obey the Lord regardless of what they're saying. So I want to encourage you, don't conform. Don't conform to fear. The TV's gonna fill you with fear. It's gonna, I mean, all kinds of stuff. You know? Anytime Satan tries to push something on me, it causes me to resist. I'm not going to do it. My body's my body. My life is my life. And I'm not going to live in fear, and I'm not going to be dictated by anybody other than the Bible and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, just like Tracy, one time, the doctor, you know, you ain't got no faith. I said, that's not what the Bible says. I said, the Bible says use every means available to you to get yourself healed. I said, Luke was a doctor, a physician. I said, doctors are anointed. That's their calling. Just like I'm called to preach. They're called, they feel called into that field. And God anoints them, gives them wisdom in that field. I said, it's not a lack of faith. I said, it's being led. I said, but if fear's leading me and fear's pushing me and fear of dying and fear of what to do to me and all of that stuff, I said, then I'm going the wrong way. And then I am open to things affecting me in a negative way or you in a negative way. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the power of